God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Okay. Larry's asked me to preach the next couple of Sundays while he's got other things going on at the moment. And I had some thoughts the last week of what I was going to say. And then I had a chemo treatment a couple of days ago. And now I've lost track of all those brain cells that were going to tell me what to say. So I'm going to have to just trust totally on God to bring all this stuff together, because I have some things written down. I've got some transparencies to show you, and how it's going to all pull together is going to be interesting. Because like I said, I thought I had it down, and then about yesterday my brain started going south a little bit, so we'll see what happens, but I think we'll get it pulled together here. It's not me. This has got to be God. This is why I know. If this works, you know it's not me. Because I'm not here. No. Yeah. Right. It is. Thank you. You are so right. Okay. I was looking at what was going on in my life at the time when Larry asked me last week to talk. So for the last week, I've been thinking, okay, what's going on in my life? Because usually when I'm preaching or talking, it's to myself more than anyone else. Sometimes I guess it does reach out and bless others, but it's mainly myself. So once again, I'm preaching to me, and if it works for you, then that's great. And since we all are part of the body, I'm sure, and you know, there might be some things that we'll reach out to everyone. What I've been seeing the last couple weeks is a lot of distractions have come in more than usual. But I also look back and realize there has always been distractions in my life. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Things that come our way that take our focus off of what we're really trying to focus on. Now, our number one focus in life should be on who we are. The Christ in us, our true identity, our true nature. We need to be focused on the source of God all in all, and us being who we are, one with God, perfect and complete in Him, the new creation being. That's our focus. But there's always something that comes along that pulls that focus away from that. It's always some kind of a distraction. Like Georgia having to get after Alec back there while I'm trying to talk. There's always some kind of a distraction that pulls you away from your focus. Thank you for giving me that example. I don't have to use the overhead now. But what's been interesting is, okay, I've saw several episodes on TV of The Dog Whisperer. Is everybody familiar with The Dog Whisperer? Anybody not? This is a guy named Caesar who is a dog trainer. And it's just amazing. It's a show that's on all the time now. He's got DVDs out. And the things that he can do with these dogs is just absolutely incredible. The worst dogs in the world, with the worst tempers and behavior problems, he can fix them in no time. But what he says is he doesn't train the dogs. He rehabilitates the dogs, but he trains the people. He trains the owners. It's the people that need the train, not the dogs. It's the people that need trained. And I've gotten to see that firsthand with our dog. And our dog's a good dog, but he's very fearful. We got him at the pound a couple of years ago, and he's just been, for whatever reason, very fearful dog. And then it just so happens my wife and stepson Alec are very fearful of dogs. So you get the three together, you have got quite a negative energy that's taking place, a fearful energy. So when they go walking the dog, well, there's just, you know, other dogs come along and start barking at the fences and they're get ready to run, and that dog, that makes the other dogs crazier, and it's just, you don't have a calm environment. What Caesar has taught with dogs, like I watched one episode where this dog, every time someone would walk this dog by any fences where there are other dogs, the dogs always come out barking. You know how it is. You take your dog for a walk, every dog in the neighborhood is going to come up to that fence, and they're doing everything in their power to get you, to distract you, to get your focus away from your nice walk with your dog and turn it into anxiety. The dog becomes anxious, the owners become anxious, and it's not a good, balanced energy. And Caesar's message is really good. He really understands the balances of energies and the energies that are put off in people and animals. I don't know a whole lot about that. I know there's a lot of subjects. I mean, there's a lot to the energies of the body, and that you can take certain types of photography that even shows energies of plants and animals and people. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about that, and I haven't studied that out. But some of it is, you know, very obvious. But he shows that the owner needs to be consistent, number one. You know, you be consistent with your dog. And this goes into child raising and everything else too, or with other relationships. We need to be consistent, because that's the real key. Otherwise, the dog isn't comfortable, or the child that you're raising, or whatever. They're not comfortable if they're not in an environment that is steady and reliable and calm. Calm assertive is the word that he uses all the time. That the best way to be is calm assertive, where you're not overbearing, you're not, you know, showing anger so much. You're in control. You're the pack leader. You're the pack leader, and the dog follows you. He listens to you, and he feels comfortable because he knows you're in charge and that you're consistent and that you're putting off the right energy. And that dog then becomes calm. And I've practiced this with my dog the last few weeks. I've been taking him for walks. I hold the leash the way he has shown. And we go by all these dogs. And my dog will start to and want to start getting excited when the dogs are going. And I just give him a little yank to let him know, no, our focus is the walk. We're walking this way. We're not letting this distraction pull us this way and get our energies off. We are not going to give in to the barking dog. We recognize the barking dog's there. We don't ignore the barking dog because it's definitely there. And it's definitely barking. And he's definitely trying to get our attention. But we don't ignore the dog. We see that it's there, but we don't give in to the dog. We don't let our energies become sucked into the barking dog because he's not on our mission. He's not part of our walk. Our walk is whatever our goal is, that's where we go. Alec and I will go walking the dog. And Alec and I will be on our subject, whether we're drilling homework assignments with him or having him recite his Bible verses, or we're talking about something in particular. And then these dogs will come along and start getting the attention away, and I have to get the dog back in focus. And it used to be Alec was scared too, but he's seeing now that I'm in charge of the dog. The dog's coming under submission. Alec's staying calmer. And the other dogs don't bother us. We go on with our mission. We go on with our purpose. The dog does not interrupt our lifestyle, does not interrupt our focus, our walk. And what amazing difference it does. We've even had dogs come out of their, running out of their yard and come running up to us and came within just inches of us. And I kept walking like that dog wasn't there. I mean, I knew he was there, and I've already assessed the danger, but realized I'm on a mission, and that dog just turned around and walked away. We even had a pit bull come off its chain on one of the walks, and he came, and he only got within so many feet from us, and then he just stopped, because we were calm, assertive, and they could feel it and sense it and see it, that we were on a mission, and we weren't going to let them stop us from our mission. We had a purpose. And the dogs are going to bark, but we kept carrying on. And this goes on. I've kind of come to a point where I've been seeing distractions, and I'm calling all distractions barking dogs. I have had barking dogs, actually, my whole life. I look back, and no matter where you're at, whatever job you go into, whether what school you go into, what your a neighbor. Family members, in-laws, steps, anybody. All around us, there's always a barking dog. There's always someone trying to distract you and get you off your course. You can be, I've had it where people even, you know, they'll make things up even about you. They'll do everything they can to run you down. There's always a barking dog somewhere trying to tear you down. And it's going to be that way anywhere and everywhere. It's like God has always put someone on this earth, and that's their main job, is to come be that thorn in your rear end. Always. He's always going to have somebody there to do that. And it would be so nice if we didn't have that. Well, it's going to be there because we have both. As I talked in my previous sermon, we have both a positive and a negative. We have both a good and an evil. And God says he created it all. And that it starts in him, flows out from him, returns to him, the positive and the negative, the good and the evil. It all works together, and we need it both. We need the thorn in our butt. We need the barking dog. We need those things, but we don't have to get sucked into them. Just like walking the dog. Those barking dogs, we need those opposing forces, but we don't get sucked into it. We just see that it's there, but it doesn't deter us from our mission. But we need those things for lots of different reasons. I mean, that's what makes us stronger. That's what makes us grow. So the good and the evil comes together. Job had even said that. In Job, Job 2, 9 through 10, when his wife came to him, he said, "Are you still holding on to your integrity?" He said, "Curse God and die." This was after Job had just been going through a hell. He's lost everything. And he's losing his health. And his wife's just saying, "Curse God and die." And he replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not evil?" Should we accept good from God and not trouble, depending on which version you look at? We're only wanting the good. We only want the positive. We can't have the trouble. We can't have the evil. It all works together in God. The good and the evil, the good and the bad. These distractions, these dogs that come into our life are there for a reason and a purpose. And our job is to stay focused. Just as Job also said in Job 1:21, when he came and just got the news that more of things had gotten wiped out in his life, and he says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We praise Him, we give thanks for Him in the good and the bad. When our health's deteriorating, falling apart, we give thanks anyway. In the good and the bad. It's all there for a reason. Good and bad, good and evil, existing side by side. I've got some... Well, just to, let me show you this first. We're talking about the dog whisperer. This is... That's Caesar, and he's training his... He's got a huge pack of dogs that were all wild dogs and abused dogs, and they're just calm as can be, just the most... just wonderful dogs just because of the energy. Here's our barking dog here. It's the picture of a dog in a devil suit. And sometimes that's what, you know, I'm feeling. When I come across... whether it be in-laws, whether it be problems with health, you know, just in the last few weeks, I mean, they found I've gone from a blood clot in the jugular vein, so I have to start giving myself shots in the stomach when I had bruises just all over my stomach, big, huge, black and blue one. My platelet level went too low, so I couldn't get my regular scheduled chemo treatment. And if you miss more than, well, 2 weeks is safe to miss on a treatment, but and 3 is the longest you can go. And I just got on to the third, at the very last week here, they were saying, "Okay, you're good enough to where we can give you another treatment." If I had gone another week, things would have really looked even grimmer than they can already look, looking in the natural, of course. You know, I had one problem after another. From they found a kidney problem, and they took another renal three-phase scan and find out, well, no, I guess there isn't anything wrong. We originally thought there was, and now we don't see anything wrong. So then they find something wrong with the liver, and the liver enzyme numbers were shooting sky high. And then a week later, they came back to normal, and there's no explanation as to what happened. But then the white blood cells went too low, so I still couldn't get my chemo treatment. And I'm like sitting here, okay, I want my chemo treatment. I mean, I don't want it. I can't stand it. But I also need it, though, to keep killing the growth, cancerous growth. So it's one thing after another, and I call these barking dogs. But along the way, I learn new things, experience new things. When I first was diagnosed with the blood clot, I had to go over and get some tests done. If it hadn't have been for that, I wouldn't have went by the bookstore. And I found a book that I started reading back in prison, actually in the county jail before I went to prison. And this book was called The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And I only got to read part of it, and the guards came in and did a shakedown. It was a regular thing they do in jails and prisons that... for two reasons. One, they're checking for contraband, and it's just to keep everybody in pain and turmoil, you know. It's their way of saying, hey, we're in charge. You just roll over and take it. They weren't calm assertive. They were just assertive. But and they would come in, and it's hard to explain, but... you know, in the county jail is worse than the prison, actually, and In the county jail, I mean, all you have is a thin little mattress and a sheet and a thin blanket, and no pillow. And so you usually take a sheet and fold it up and try to make a pillow out of it. But, you know, that's all you have. You don't have, and you have a black and white striped jumpsuit to wear with no underwear, no socks. I mean, you just feel completely naked. And then you're subject to strip searches all the time. I mean, you are just totally exposed, and, you know, it's just not a fun place to be. And I guess that's why they call it jail. But they would come, and your little world, you get set up in this little world. I mean, I spent 9 months there before I went on to prison. And, I mean, this is all you have are the letters that people send to you, the pictures people send to you, and your blanket and your sheet and your black and white uniform. This is all you own. This is your life, and it becomes important to you. When they come into your room, they shake it up, and they're very mean about it. They come in, and they kick you out of the room for a while. You come back into your room. Everything that you own, pictures, letters, everything, are just spewed out all over the floor. And they're stepping all over it. They step all over your sheet. Step all over your blanket. It's just, and then your life's just, whoa. I mean, it's bad enough. You don't have anything as it is, and they come in and just stomp all over everything. Barking dogs. More barking dogs everywhere you go. But I found, and my point here was, is that there was a book I was reading, and it was, and I only got partway into it, and they came in, did a shakedown, took everybody's books. I never got to see the book again. I got to prison, I went to the library there and looked for it, couldn't find it. And I wanted to finish that book. And here I went and got the blood work done, and I went to the bookstore, and I mean, I just like walked right up to it, and there's that book. And I went, wow, okay, I'm going to finish this book. So I started to read it over again now because I don't remember it. It was so many years ago. So I've gotten halfway through it. What turns out, it was in the New Age section. Had I had known it was a New Age book back then, I never would have read it because I came from a religious background that said that's of Satan, and I'm going to get demon possessed if I look at any kind of New Age material. I'm not New Age, but I also know that God shows me things from everywhere. He shows me things from a dog whisperer, and he can show me things from a New Age book. He can show me things from everywhere because God is all in all. God is everywhere, and I can find truth wherever he shows it to me. Interesting enough, as I'm reading the book, I came across that story again. This is the third time I've heard the story. First, I read it from Eby's newsletter. Then Miss Carolyn got up and read the story. You know, originally, I'd heard it from Eby as a Chinaman and a son. Then Miss Carolyn stood up and gave the story as the woodcutter. And then in this book, it was just a farmer and a son, but it's the same story, the farmer and the son. He only has one horse to plow the fields with. That's his only source of income. And one day his horse runs away, and all the townspeople are, oh, what bad luck, you've lost your horse. What are you going to do now? And the farmer says, how do you know it's bad luck? A week later, the horse comes back with five more horses with it. And they're, oh, what good luck. What we first thought was bad luck because he ran away, it ended up being good luck because he came back with five horses. So they're all, oh, it's good luck. And the farmer, well, how do you know it's good luck? And sure enough, the son's riding the horse one day and breaks his leg. Now he's no use on the farm. And all the neighbors come over to whoop, 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 do their barking dog thing and tell him what they want to think and what he should think. But anyway, they say once again, oh, what bad luck. Bad luck, good luck. How do you know what it is? Then the men were called off to war, and everyone in that town went to war except the man with the broken leg couldn't go. And everyone died in battle that went. He's the only one that stayed alive. Good luck, bad luck. We don't know. That's why God has, I think, been showing me that not to look and just say, well, that's necessary, you know, to not judge whether that's good or bad, good or evil. We don't always know. What appears to be good can actually be evil. What appears to be evil can actually be good. We have to, because really it's all together in one. It depends on what you're seeing and how you're seeing it. Tony, what's that top word say? Does everybody agree with that? Is that what you see, Lee? You see good? Diane? You see something else there?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what it is.
See, it all depends on your perception and your focus. We can all see something different. If you're looking at the black letters, you're seeing the word good. Look at the white letters. We have evil right in there with the good. The good is present with evil. It all depended on your focus. Isn't that neat? The good and the evil. They go together. Can't have one without the other. It's like when I talked about the positive and negative of the battery. You know, God is the source, and he's positive and negative because you created them both. And it takes the positive and negative. We always want to just hook me up to the positive. I don't want none of this negative. Just give me the positive. But we got to have the positive and the negative to light the light. And there's a violent reaction that's taking place within those wires. The atoms are moving in there. The repelling and the attracting forces in there are creating a violent reaction. And you need that violent reaction to light the light. And it's the same in chemistry. You know, God says we're the light. Well, he also said we're the salt. And we go through chemical reactions all the time. You know, we have sodium and chloride, and that's an equal amount of positive with an equal amount of negative ions. An equal amount of positive sodium ions mixed with an equal amount of negative chloride ions. And the two together, you take this equal amount, and we end up with salt. But there's a reaction that has to take place. Sometimes these reactions are violent reactions. But they produce excellent results. So we need good, evil, and it's all together, but it depends on where we have our focus and what we're looking at. You know, is this good, is this evil? We don't always know. So what God's telling me is that it just is. It just is. I no longer, as I'm walking the dog and I see the dog over there, is it good or is it bad that the dog's barking? Doesn't matter. It just is. But good or bad. It just is. And everything that happens, I got a blood clot in my neck. Is that good or is that bad? It just is. If I say it's bad, how do I know it's bad? It could lead to something that saved my life or something. You know, they could end up doing some tests and find something that else needed to be taken care of, which they did. They did some more tests and found out, you know, there was something with the liver that rose up. They could have given me chemo thinking I was okay and ended up, you know, worse off than before because I wasn't ready for it. So, I mean, everything happens for its reason, but can't look at it and say, oh, yeah. So when all these bad things come up, when the dogs start barking, we got to realize just to stay focused on our mission and just say, okay, I see the dog barking. I see the problem with this relationship. I see the problem with my employer or employee. I see the problem with kids. I see the problem with my, you know, in-laws, wherever the problems are, other believers in the church, wherever our problems are, is it good? Is it bad? It just is. And God puts this in our path sometimes so we learn how to deal with things. And he we need the positive and we need that resistance because sometimes there's going to be violent reactions from it. But it's all working in God. And when we trust God and focus on that, on the source, stay focused on the source of who we are in Christ, then we see good and evil working together. We no longer see it as, oh, that's bad, oh, that's good, oh, that's bad, oh, that's good. No, we see it together, good and evil, working together in God, and it just is. It's the perfect balance. It's the balance. We have to have the balance, the positive and the negative, which is what we have when we, I guess since you said that, that's the time for me to hold up this one. The yin yang. The yin and the yang. The perfect balance of light and dark. And if you notice, we have the perfect balance here, but there's a small circle of the dark in with the light, and there's a small circle of light in with the dark to show a complete and perfect harmony and balance. Now, when I was in my late teens, I took Taekwondo for a couple of years, and our teacher had us study different Eastern religions and stuff. He was into Taoism, and we had to do reports and things, and I always did it on Christianity, but I would read his Taoism too and try to kind of compare the two. But it's amazing how, I mean, they have such insight into this yin yang. And he told us, you know, like he called it like hard and soft. So when it came into like fighting modes, it was you're hard. You need to be hard, but not so hard that you're overbearing and walking all over everyone. That's why you've got the soft spot there. And then you be soft, but then you don't want people walking all over you, so you've got a little bit of the hard. The calm, assertive. The perfect balance is calm, assertive. You're not to be walked on, but you're not to walk on others either. It's that perfect balance. And that's how we stay in harmony. As we stay on our focus, stay on our walk, whatever our walk is, which is always, should be, believing in who we are and knowing who we are and living the Christ life. Being him on this earth, going out, as Larry always says, you know, as you go, be the Christ. That's who you are. But all these things try to pull us away. And if we try to label them good and bad, I that's where I guess, run into problems. I find it better when I label it just is. I don't know if it's good or bad. I just know it is. And I know God's the source and in charge of it. He's all working it together, the good and the evil, the positive and the negative. Everything's working together. This next word here, it's kind of hard to see, but can you read that? Anybody? Huh? Illusion? Are you seeing an illusion? Are you seeing optical? Are you seeing an optical illusion or just an optical? Okay, it is. It's optical illusion. We have, if we look in the dark colors, we have the word illusion. If we look at the white, it's spelling the word optical.
I didn't see the optical.
See, one saw the other. You know, all depends on how we're looking at it.
It's like back in the 80s, you had something similar to this, to the word Jesus.
Yeah.
And a lot of people couldn't see the word Jesus. It was all in white. It just looked like a pattern. They couldn't differentiate. But most people saw the word Jesus right off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotten wrapped up in the income tax movement of the 80s, and it came out as an actual bumper sticker that a lot of guys had it on their vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are neat. So you know, it just depends on where our focus is. We can see the illusion, or we can see the optical. And or we can see them both, and we see them both together, just as the good and the evil. Here's a couple more. These are just for fun here. Just the top one there. You can see learn reflects from teach. And then what do you see here? Me.
And you.
I see me and you. It's me and you, but what are you focused on? Well, me and you, we're right there together. We're all together. We're in this together, me and you. So we can see me, we can see you, but the focus needs, you may just be seeing me and somebody else might just be seeing you. But really, in reality, the me and you are together and we're seeing both. Read that one aloud. A bird in the bush. Is that what it says? It says a bird in the bush. Everybody read, first time I read it, it's a bird in the bush, but it doesn't say that. It says a bird in the bush. It's just funny how we can see things and how we can perceive things, and that makes a difference in our walk. You know. That's neat. So to kind of try to get this back on track here a little bit and get also to what I wanted to talk about on, this is a picture of George's brother, the white guy.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia. And his name's George. And that can get real confusing. It's, this is George's picture. Not Georgia's picture, George's picture. It's Wyatt. Whoever named them, I don't know. But anyway, he's over in Iraq right now. And he's on a mission. That's George's brother, George. And he's not... No armor. Well, he's not fighting at the moment. I think he's just posing with the gun to look cool. But, and he's not alone. He's got others with him. He's not an army of one. And the reason I'm showing this, see, is that, you know, the dogs bark. Everywhere we go, there's always something. Somebody's trying to stir something up. But we stay focused on our mission. And I got thinking back. For some reason, I got thinking on the convoy. I mean, just look at these lines of tanks with, you know more about this stuff than I do. All these vehicles with just massive armaments. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But I'm sure as they go through small towns, I mean, I know when I drive through, sometimes you get these little yapping dogs that come out and try to nip and bite at your tires of your car. When I was a kid, I'd ride my bike, and the dog would come out and try to nip at your heels. And they come out and bite at the motorcycle. Right. But you don't let the dog stop you from your journey, your mission. That's right. And I'm sure as these guys went through some of the small towns and their convoys, they were met by some barking dogs. And not just dogs barking, they were met with bullets. But they were on a mission. Now, I'm not here to say whether our war is right or wrong. I know there's all different opinions on that. It doesn't matter. But it just is. Yeah. Good, bad, it just is. My point is, when 9/11 happened, we all felt that pain, watching those planes go into those buildings, watching those thousands and thousands of innocent people killed in the name of Allah because we're infidels and because we deserve to die. And I remember George Bush standing at Ground Zero when it was nothing but ashes and everybody standing around and yelling, "Do something about this, George." He said, "Go get him, George." And he says, "I will." And he has. Right or wrong in what he's done along the way, he has stayed tight from what I've seen and focused on his mission of these terrorist groups. He said, "This is going to take a long time." He told right up front what he was going to do. "This is going to take a long time. And we're going to go in and we're going to get all these and we're going to stay focused. And he's had nothing now but barking dogs. In the beginning, he had 90% of people behind him, cheering him on. Oh, yeah, let's get him. Now he's got nothing but barking dogs everywhere at him. And has he deterred from his focus? Not from what I've seen. He's still on this path of going after the evil dictator. They're going after Saddam, who's insane. And if you notice, Saddam, Adam, it's real close. Just a S is the only thing different in Adam. And what was their mission? As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. They went in to tear down an evil regime. They went in. This man stood for nothing but murder and rapes and thievery and just disgusting, horrible things. And we said, this guy's going down. And that was their main goal, was to bring him down. That's what this picture is. And the people, I can remember watching it on the news as they came in, the little kids and everybody stomping their shoes on his face, on the signs of Saddam's face as he came crashing down. How they, when they pulled the statue down, they would take their shoes and hit at it. I mean, these people were excited to get rid of this dictator, with the exception of a few that wanted him. But that's what they did. They had the fall of Adam, Saddam. That's what we're doing in the spirit too. We realize we are the Christ within, the Adam man, the horrible evil nature that Paul talked about. He says, in my flesh, there's no good thing. It resides right along with my spirit. He says, I see in me the spirit of God that wants to follow and do the right things and do all that's right. But I also see a law of sin at work within my flesh right alongside of it. So he's seeing the good and the evil. He sees the right there both together and it's all a part of him. But he stays focused to who he really is, which was the Christ in him. He says, no longer I that live, the Adam. That regime is going down. That regime's going down. And the Christ is becoming greater. And that's what we're trying to do over in Iraq. The old regime is coming down, and we're trying them to see a new freedom, a new regime. Whether they make that or not, I don't know. But in our lives, there's a similarity there. We're watching the regime of Adam go down, of our old man, our old nature. And what we see is the rising of the Christ within us. What we see is that new creation being. Everything that we are, that's where our focus has to be. On the source, on God, that all in all, we are becoming everything that we're supposed to be. And the dogs are going to bark, but the convoy moves on. That convoy moved right straight into Iraq. I mean, they were right into Baghdad with... It seemed like in no time. Do you remember watching that? They thought they were going to be met with heavy resistance. And they went right on in. Right on into the city. And just tore down the statue. Just tore down the images. The false images that were up there of who this person is and what that stood for. That meant a lot. To tear down. I mean, I think there's a lot of spiritual meaning in that of what happened. And I think the same thing is happening in our lives. And so I think that's pretty much, I mean, I have more to say, but I think I've said enough that to sum it all up in a nutshell is that the dogs are going to bark. We're going to have distractions. We're going to have health problems. We're going to have family problems. There's going to be these different things, but they don't deter us from our focus. They don't deter us from being all that we can be. Doesn't deter us from being these Christ beings, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are, and that's who we're going to be. And when what we think is good or evil comes barking at us, it just is, and it doesn't deter us. Let the dogs bark, the convoy's moving on. Amen? Amen. Anybody else have something to share? Okay. Lee?
were teaching, I came. And, you know, it speaks louder, doesn't it?
That's great. Thank you. I'm glad to see you here. It's great seeing you here. So it's...
I know you were talking to me.
The Christ in me was talking to you. Well, great. I'm glad. I wasn't sure how it was going to all come together, but I knew God would do it because He's the one that's put all this into my heart to share. So, and I thank you for coming, and this is, being able to talk like this has really helped raise my spirits too. And I go to the mission too. I just got back from there on Thursday. And also, I'm hopefully going to be starting in the prisons here in a couple of weeks. I just got a call the other day from one of the guys, and he said he was putting my name and information in to see if I could get an approved clearance to get in. So I'm waiting on that now. I haven't heard back. But he wanted to get me started here in the next couple of weeks, going in to the prisons to preach and give my story and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. If that be God's will, well, they'll open the doors and let me in. They normally want someone out for several years before they let them come back in. But he's going to do some talking and see what happens. But it was interesting as I went to do the mission on Thursday, one of the girls, I've talked about her before. Her name was Tilly, and we even prayed for her. She's been in the program there for a couple of years. A young teenage girl was dropped off there by her parents, drug addict parents that just dropped her off and left her there. And she's been going, and she had drug problems herself. And she's been on the program and been drug free. Well, she had a birthday a couple of days ago, so I had made her a gift and brought it. And I got there on Thursday, and somebody came up to me before the meeting and said, "You're Tilly's friend, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, we got to tell you that just last night Tilly packed all her stuff and left the program." My first reaction was, "Oh my God, no! This girl's doing so well. I hate to see this. She looked like she was doing so well, and I know how hurt she's been. I mean, she has been so hurt by this whole situation." My first reaction was, I was going to say, "Oh my God, no, that's horrible." But what was this sermon just about? And I know what I was getting ready to preach. I was getting ready to preach a similar thing. And I'm like, no, it is horrible, but no, it just is. And I stopped and I stayed calm. I started to react for a second. I stayed calm and I said, I just asked questions. I go, "Do you think she's using again? Do you think?" You know, I just was kind of asking some questions. And then I just felt this peace inside. And I said, "You know what? God's in control of this. And what looks to be bad right now, this may be the best thing for her. She's over at her sister's house or something right now. And, you know, she may need a break from the program for a minute. You know, there's, you know, a lot going on in that place. It's a real busy place. And, you know, I don't know I don't know all the details, but I know God's in control. I know God's in charge." And that's the thing. When it comes to my health or when it comes to her problems, whatever it is, it might look bad. But here again, we can't look at we can't say it's good or bad. We don't know. We just know it is. And we know who's in charge. We know who's in control. So, and it gave me more peace to be able, rather than just feeling like it's hopeless and there's nothing I can do to help or anything. I felt a real peace that I could just say it is. And God's in control. And now let's wait. And I told the people there that were talking to me about her, I said, "Let's watch what God does in this circumstance. And we may not see it right away. We might not see results for months or years later. But there was a reason for this, and let's wait and see what God does in this situation." And we're going to need to do that with everything. And whether we have relationship problems with our children, whether we have problems with in-laws, whether we have problems with employees, whether we have problems with other people in the church, whatever it is. Sometimes say, "It just is. It's not necessarily good or bad. I don't know. But I know who's in charge. I know who's in control. and then just wait and see what God does. Wait and see what God does. That's it. Perfect. Be still and know that I am God. I think we can wrap it up with that. That's a perfect ending note. Be still and know that I am God. That's what he's been saying. Amen. Who would like to close in prayer? Any volunteers? Okay.
Our eyes may be open to what it is that you're doing in our lives. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for opening our eyes to see who we are and that we can just be who we are, already are. Go with us each day, Father. Bring us back here so that we can come together as your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.